Production support for Soundbites is made possible by listeners and by Coffee by Design, growing a business committed to community and sustainability locally and worldwide. CoffeeByDesign.com.
Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing, and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Wanted. Here's today's host, Connecticut-based novelist, storyteller, columnist, playwright, and teacher, Matthew Dix.
All right, it is my pleasure to bring up the last storyteller of this first half. Please make a huge round of applause for Monique Cornett, ladies and gentlemen.
I just wanted to help. And I have always been this way. Like when I was 8 years old, on a bike ride, and I found a homeless snake. And I picked it up, and I put it in my butt pocket, and I rode home. Unfortunately, it did die in transit, and it never made it to its new home. Or like when I was 10, and I insisted on helping my parents clean the outdoor outside of the house. And it turns out I could really only reach about 6 feet high, so at the end of the day, they had a two-toned home. Fast forward a bit, and this trend continued. It was a cold and slushy day in upstate New York, and hockey practice had just ended at Pine Street Arena. And I was getting chippy with my teammate, who I will call Jill for the story. And chippy just means like slashing each other in the shins, maybe like wrestling a little bit in hockey. So we make our way off the ice, and we're chasing each other, and we're like, ha ha ha, it's so funny. And we run into the dressing room, and we start wrestling a little bit, and we're still in our equipment. And this is a key point about the hockey boot. It's kind of like a vacuum seal around your foot. Like, there's not a whole lot of gives. Like, if your foot in the hockey boot moves, your whole leg kind of goes with it. So I also learned a wrestling move in high school from my English teacher named Greg Lipinski, and it goes like this. You take your hand, you grab their opposite arm. So I would take my left hand, grab their right wrist, take my right hand, grab their right bicep, and then you drop your shoulder. I'm gonna try to not lose the mic here. You drop your shoulder, you use your hip, and you thrust it into their pelvis bone, and you kind of roll them from one side of your back to the other. I had practiced this move like 100 times, and I was really freaking good at it. So when Jill and I are wrestling in the dressing room, I have zero reservations about busting this out. So I do just that. I grab her arm, I drop the shoulder, I toss her from one side of my back to the other, right on her back. It's like textbook. And I'm like loving this, I'm super pumped. And the next thing that I hear are just like screams coming from everywhere. The girls in the dressing room are screaming, Jill's screaming, and I'm not really catching on right away. So I do a quick scan, and my eyes land on Jill's mangled leg. And you know, like a normal leg, like this is a normal leg. Like this is the maybe the leg part, and this is the foot, maybe like a nice 90 degree angle. And then like Jill's leg is just like a little, just perfectly not right. And I don't know if any of you have seen a broken limb in real life, or if you watch ESPN, you've just seen like 1,000 of them on a highlight reel, but it really invoked in me a primal feeling. Like you do not need to be a medical professional to be able to identify that that right there is a broken leg. Like I'm seeing it, I'm feeling it, I'm sensing that this is broken, this is wrong. So I'm feeling this feeling, and then I slowly, rather quickly actually, transition into survival mode. And I get down on the ground, and I'm like an army medic, and it is like a war zone in here because now the girls that were in the dressing room, they're on top of the benches, like as if it's a there's a flood, and they're yelling down onto us, and Jill's yelling, and then I start yelling at Jill, and I'm like, if you're not serious, if this is a joke, this isn't funny, Jill, like if you're not serious right now, and I'm like threatening her just because I desperately, like I could not bear for this thing to be true that was happening in front of me. It was horrible. So in that moment, I make the decision about how I'm going to make this right. And this part does not get easier. Every time I tell this story to a friend, colleague, this part does not get easier. So I make the decision. And without thinking about this decision that I've made, I take my hands and I just reach down. And not gently, do I just twist that sucker right back into place. And then the screams, they just like double down. Like the girls who are on the benches are like, ah! And then like Jill's like, ah! And she's like completely white. She's like a ghost. And then the other half of the girls are just like running. They're like fleeing locker room 4. So we're left with like half the crowd. And the worst part, maybe, is at this point, I'm feeling a sense of relief. I was like, that was really close. That could have been really bad. Did you just see what I did there? Like, we're good. We fixed it. We can move on, everybody, right? The room was telling me, no, we cannot move on until the ambulance arrives. So, unfortunately, that is where my memory of the events just kind of end. Fortunately, unfortunately. And the rest of that day is just a complete blur, and I don't really remember anything. But in the following weeks, Jill had to get surgery, and I insisted on bringing her flowers, even though I was definitely the last person that she wanted to see. But I did. I delivered the flowers. And in that visit, I learned a redeeming thing that happened that day. Apparently, the doctor told her, you better thank whoever set your leg. They did a pretty good job, and I would have had to do it when you got here. Yeah. But really, the thing I did learn about myself is I'm just fine the way I am. It's okay, I always wanted to help. Just maybe don't suffocate the snake. Maybe just help it get across the road. Thank you.
Monique Cornett, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you about Monique first. Monique moved to Maine last year and quickly fell in love with the salty air and welcoming community. She hails from upstate New York. Monique's big family is a central part of her life and keeps her traveling throughout the Northeast. Locally, she spends her time making pottery. She is a potter. I heard her declaring that earlier tonight. And singing with her Portland-based choir, Women in Harmony. You'll find her roasting vegetables and working in development for Goodwill Northern New England. Monique.
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, well, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage, now in conversation with today's teller.
All right, so I'm here with Monique Cornett. She's going to be performing tonight. This is your first time telling a story?
Yes, it is.
All right, so I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Can you tell me first, what's your connection to Maine?
Oh, my connection to Maine is not too complicated, but I just moved here with a wonderful person from my past life.
And where were you before you came here?
I was in St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow, St. Louis, Missouri to Maine. That it seems like a big change to me.
It was hot to cold.
All right. So you're performing for the first time tonight. What got you into storytelling? What brings you to the stage?
Donna Galuzzo is a good friend of mine, and her and I were having dinner one night, and I told a story to her that is unmentionable, but she just knew immediately that she wanted me on Soundbites.
So you're not going to tell that story, but a different story.
Exactly, a different story tonight.
So you're basically strong-armed here?
Slightly.
All right. So preparing for that story that we're going to hear, What was your process? How did you go about doing that?
Well, actually, I was taking a bath one night, and I was like, I'm not getting out until I just get it all down on paper. So I journaled it out and until I was pruny in the bathtub. And then Donna helped me kind of break it down and get it to a story that could be in 10 minutes and have some flow.
I have spoken to many, many storytellers over the years, and I've never heard the bathtub approach. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Everyone should try it.
You sort of trapped yourself in a place and didn't allow yourself to escape until it was done. And it was the bath, so it wasn't bad at first. I imagine it probably got cold at the end.
Yeah, it got a little murky.
All right, so my last question is, when you were working on that story, I'm sure there are some things that you had to either leave behind or maybe something that happened afterwards. Can you give us a nugget from that story that you're not going to be telling tonight, but that might be interesting for people to hear after you tell that story?
I would say that a little nugget that I left out was that my sister was there. She was there at the event, and she totally bailed on me. She just totally bailed on me. And so after people hear the story, I hope they understand why that was kind of ridiculous.
So you're really just throwing your sister under the bus at this moment?
Yeah, I'm absolutely outing her for doing that to me.
All right.
Soundbites is brought to you by Frontier Studios and made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing Company, Frontier, The Press Hotel, Toad & Co., and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to GWI and Downey's Pension Services. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, can be found online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org. Thanks for listening.